welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along.
Thank you very much.
Right, this week we'll be looking back at the win against Dumbarton. We'll hear from manager Jim McAnally as well as two of the players as well. And we'll be previewing next Saturday's home clash against Forfar. Right, Martin, how has your week been? Another busy week?
Yeah, it's shaping up to be a busy week, so it makes the days go by a bit quicker, so thankfully we're busy again.
And two home games on the bounce, a bit of a novelty. We're actually going to end up with three. It's like we've missed out for the last 6 months and they're all kind of gathering at the same time.
Yeah, they're a wee bit like buses are. You wait ages for one game to come along and then you get three in the bounce. But no, it's good to be back to playing football. Obviously, it's somewhat different to what we're used to, but you know, we're one of the very fortunate few that are able to get to the games.
Yep, we'll maybe touch on more of that a wee bit later. So Dumbarton game on Saturday, overall it was a tough game. Could have gone really either way, but I think in the end we kind of sneaked it.
Yeah, I would agree there. We sneaked it. I think Dumbarton threw a lot at us towards the end of the second half, as you'd expect, being a goal down. But I think that's the sort of game last season that we'd have thrown away, whether it being conceding two goals and losing a game or just not hanging on well enough at the end and dropping points. So, yeah, I think overall in the balance of play, Jim Duffy's Dumbarton team will be unhappy that they've not got something for the game, but from our point of view, delighted, because as I said, last season I think we'd have won that game.
So it was a point I was going to pick up on, but you've mentioned it now. What do you think is the difference from last season to this season then? Because obviously we both sort of left there thinking that was a game that we probably last season would have dropped points, or as you said, or even lost the game. So what's the difference, you think?
Two things, in my opinion. I think we're maybe getting a wee bit of the luck. We spoke about that last season, that we didn't really have much luck going our way. But you make your own luck, and I think the players that have come in, there seems to be that hunger. That's not to say that wasn't there last season, but I think there's more of a determination that when we get our tails up to try and hang on to it. I thought Kieran Freeman was brilliant again on Saturday, and it just shows you the work rate that he's got, the determination and the drive. You think that just follows through the team as well. And Josh Ray, you know, he's, from what we've seen so far, he's not the biggest of communicators, but what he does do, he seems to do it well and efficiently. So I think that factors put together so far has been a solid base for us.
So onto the game itself then, there was the obvious change. Jason Brown was out suspended. And then there was the other change as well, which kind of surprised everybody a little bit. We weren't expecting Josh Ray to be back in again, but he was preferred to Lenny Wilson. Cook came in for Brown. So the shape was fairly similar, but the personnel in terms of who was playing where was slightly different. Simon Ferry was in at centre-back along with Kieran Freeman. Josh Ray obviously was back in goal. So what did you make of those changes prior to the game?
I think it was the right changes. We sort of touched on last week with Simon Ferry, the last 20 minutes of the St Johnstone game going to centre-half. We thought that was maybe in Jim's thinking for the game against Dumbarton. That proved right. And I think Josh has sort of established himself as number one, but I think Jim prefers to have Josh in goals. Like I said last week, I didn't think Lenny did too much wrong, but I think the experience that Josh has got already, I think he was probably the natural choice to come in and take Lenny's place again. So, yeah, overall, I think that was the right choices that Jim made.
And we had Isaac Lane back on the bench as well. He hasn't featured since mid-October, so it was good to see him back. Again, we'll touch on what happened to him later on as well. But it was a great start. I think both sides kind of seen it as a game they could potentially win. But it was Peterhead who got off to the perfect start through Ben Armour's fourth-minute goal.
Yeah, right place, right time for them, was it? It was a good finish. Quite easy to sort of snatch at them and either put it wide or over the bar. So it was a good composed finish. But as you said, both teams, I think, realised the importance of the game. It's probably games that both teams looked at and thought, you know, it was a good chance to get 3 points. And thankfully for us, it's gone our way, and it was a good start. It was probably a good start from both teams, although Dumbarton conceded. I didn't think that, a poor start to the game. But thankfully, we got the early goal.
And it was a good striker's finish from Ben, in terms of that he was there in the right place at the right time. And it was composed in the sense that he didn't think about it. It would have been quite easy for him to take a touch and then get closed down by the defenders, but he just had that instinct and just fired it in. And it's exactly the kind of confident finish, I should say, that you'd expect from somebody who's starting to find his feet.
Yeah, it was something last season, he's maybe added it a wee bit this season, I should say, that the instincts there, because we've seen it at Montrose, his first goal, he sort of bundled it over the line, right place, right time, and the composed finish that he had for the second one, doing it at Montrose, when he sort of rounded the keeper. I did say at the time I thought the chance was gone when he did go round the keeper, but a composed finish. And again on Saturday, it's right place, right time, and the composed finish. So both parts of his game coming together well. And, you know, I think that's a good sign for the rest of the season for Ben.
And that's 3-2 in the league for him now. So off to a good start. So hopefully that kind of continues. But it's not just obviously his goals, but he's added it to his game as well, as you said. And his hold-up play and his link-up play in general on Saturday was particularly pleasing.
Yeah, you mentioned that throughout the game on Saturday, that Ben's hold-up play seemed to be a vast improvement on what it was last season. That, you know, in turn is down to how well he's worked throughout lockdown. He's really built himself up. But some of the defenders that he's been up against the last couple of weeks, you know, they've been well above him in terms of his physical power. And he's done well to, you know, I would say, give a good account of himself, because on Saturday he did hold up the ball quite a lot, which I think really helped us, because our midfield struggled in the game. And it was good that we did have an out ball. And Ben, he's not the tallest, but he'll certainly stretch the defence. And when he's got it, you know, he will hold up and not allow players to come into the game.
Yeah, and shortly after that, unfortunately, the injuries woes kicked in again for Jim. This time it was Simon Ferry who went off. It's looked like his hamstring. We think it's not as bad as what the kind of first thought. However, it's still a hamstring injury, and given his history of that injury, it's probably the best thing that he was to take him off. It did mean we were a bit light. There was a bit of a reshuffle again. Bailey moved into centre half alongside Freeman, and then Andy McCarthy went to right back. And straight after that, the sort of next sort of 10-15 minutes, Peter, he did look a bit unsettled.
Yeah, absolutely. We struggled. I don't really care why, because, you know, it's good players. They're just jiggling about. For some reason, we struggled on our right hand side with Andy, especially the tail end of the first half. I don't know why, we just seemed to struggle. And Dumbarton, the poses a few threats with it, and they'll be disappointed they didn't capitalise on it. But it was frustrating, because throughout the first half, I thought we were just starting to get a wee bit of rhythm going. And then, obviously, the injuries and the reshuffle certainly didn't help us.
Putting McCarthy to right back, you then instantly lose his energy and his sort of box-to-box mentality in midfield. And that kind of just open things up a little bit for Dumbarton, because somebody like Adam Frizzell, for example, he just seemed to be everywhere, and he was so influential, and it just sort of coincided with the fact that Scott Brown and Gary Fraser probably had their poorest games by their standards. I mean, they weren't a shocking, but they were just compared to how they normally are, and that really didn't help things, just having McCarthy just in there just to keep them ticking over as well. And as I said, like a Frizzell in midfield just pounced on that, and he was able to create chance after chance. And you remember that one, he fired across the goal. It was missed by two. Again, you talk about luck and things like that. Maybe that last season, somebody would have finished that one off.
Yeah, by Scott Brown and Gary Fraser's high standard, they were poor. Like you said, they weren't shocking on the day. It was just, and it's unusual for both of them to have a bad game. It just seemed to happen that it wasn't the same one that they played poor. And as you said, Andy McCarthy going to right back, we just lost that bit of steel in midfield and the driving force, because I think Andy's been really good in there the opening couple of games in the league. So yeah, all things combined with Ferry going off, McCarthy moving at right back, and Brown and Fraser being below par, it caused a problem. But I think, you know, that's credit to the guys that were on the park, because they kept going and they kept, you know, were under the cosh for a wee bit after the changes for that 10-15 minutes, as you said. So it's credit to them, because quite easily we could have sort of shrunk in our shell a wee bit, thinking things weren't going our way and we're struggling in the game and conceded a goal. And I think that's the difference between last season and this season, the fact that we kept going.
McKeever had a header over as well just before half time. So I think as well, half time probably came at the right time for Peter, because Jim could get his team in, get them reorganised. And once half time was over, I don't know what was said by both managers, but all of a sudden the pace of the game just seemed to pick up, and it was really end to end for a good sort of 10-15-20 minutes of that first half.
Yeah, I think Jim would have realised at half time that if he could get the second goal, you know, they're 2-0 up, and you've got a great chance to go and get the 3 points. But equally, Jim Duffy would be thinking, the way the first half ended, if they could get the goal, they could probably go on to win the game, the way they'd played. So I think that was sort of the rocket that the players maybe needed from both teams to try and push on for the second half. And as you said, it proved to be quite an entertaining opening 20 minutes to the second half.
And although it was end-to-end, I don't think really either keeper had much to do in the sense of, you know, shot stopping and things like that. Boyd had a great chance midway through to sort of kill the game off to make it 2-0. Sort of fluffed his lines somewhat with the left-footed volley. And again, you're just in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, is this going to be one of those games?
Yeah, aye, absolutely. If it went wide, we did sort of look at each other and think, oh, it might be one of them sort of games. I think Derek Lyle missed a couple of yards out towards the end as well. But as you said, neither keeper really had that much to do in the game. But I think Dumbarton, I think most of their chances were outside the box, if I remember correctly. I could be correct on that. But they had quite a few mid-range efforts, a couple of free kicks as well. But overall, I think Josh had that much to do. And again, credit to the makeshift defence and the midfield, because they didn't allow Dumbarton too much. They allowed him more of the ball in the second half, but didn't pose us that much of a concern with the ball.
I think Jamie Wilson had a header from sort of inside the six-yard box from a free kick. He headed wide.
Yeah.
He probably should have done a lot better. But the changes that Dumbarton made, changing their front two and bringing on the two big lads, straight away that changed their game plan, because they were obviously just thinking, well, we've got a really short sort of centre-half playing against us here, and Kieran Freeman. We're just going to lump it long. But again, as you said, the makeshift back four seemed to cope pretty well with it.
Yeah, the two Peter Crouches came on for Dumbarton, and sort of, you could see for the plan was going to be from the came on, it was long balls. But, you know, they're using their strength. And you didn't grudge a team doing that. It was always going to be long ball. And Peter, they were never going to win the first ball with the height of the guy, so it was how we dealt with the second ball. And I think 9 times out of 10 we did well. We limited Dumbarton to very few chances. And I think that's a massive positive going forward, that we've managed to keep a clean sheet. You know, Josh's first as well. So I think overall with the clean sheet, and it wasn't the greatest performance, but we managed to get the win. I think confidence will just rise throughout the team.
Obviously, Peter changes as well. They changed the front two as well. They brought Lyle and Lane on. Unfortunately for Isaac, he picked up another injury, and it's one of those which it looks bad because there's nobody sort of round about him. He's twisted his knee or he's done something, but he was in agony for a long, long period of time. But again, early indications is not as bad, but still, it's another injury to add to the list.
Yeah, it seemed to go down quite innocuous, just sort of, as you said, he fell maybe around about him, in a lot of pain. I think the club's going to have to be really careful with Isaac and how they go forward, because you don't want to rush him back. I mean, he looked a good player. We've seen him for a very brief spell so far. But we know he's a class player going by what we've seen last season, but we cannot rush him back. It was always going to be a case of the players have gained 6, 7, 8 months, maybe some of them they playing fit, but then they're thrown into sometimes playing, you know, 5, 6 games in a month. So you need to be careful with injuries. They are starting to mount up, but when players have got reoccurring hamstrings and injuries, knee injuries, we really need to be careful of how quickly we try and get them back into the team.
It was mentioned, I think it was after the first game against St Johnstone, that the Jim had mentioned that the pitch was quite heavy, and that's why he was kind of shielding Ben Arum a little bit by taking him off after maybe 50 minutes, 60 minutes. The pitch obviously hasn't been used since February, and there has been a lot of rain recently as well, so it is just making things a little bit more difficult, and maybe that's kind of a contributing factor to, you know, the hamstrings and the knee injuries and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. We've gone from playing on artificial grass and then you're coming on to a heavy pitch. You know, it's difficult to try, and you've got to get the right footwear and that. These things all play a huge part in it. And it's just something we're going to have to adapt. You know, we've got another home game, and then we just need to be careful how we're utilising the squad. You like to make quite a few changes, but it's a very small squad. It's just fine. We're going to have to be very careful with it, the rest and recuperation period.
It's an interesting point that having, you know, so many teams playing with plastic pitches and artificial grass and things, and then having to play on grass, does that make a difference to people's, you know, bodies? Does a body react different to the bumps and things like that? That's something to kind of consider for future. but in the meantime, we'll hear what manager Jim McAnally had to say.
Hey Jim, hard fought win.
Yes, very hard fought. But I think that at the end it maybe just shaded it. And you know, with a couple of things that went against us, you know, I'm not talking about refereeing, I'm just talking about injuries. Then I thought it was a big result under the circumstances, and it was also good to get a clean sheet, and it's a big 3 points. I'm just delighted, to be honest.
How did Simon Ferrig and us Ireland game, did it change your game plan?
Hamstring, yeah. Aye, of course. Well, it doesn't change your game plan as such, but as I've already said, we lost Andy McCarthy,
yeah,
in the middle of the park. Andy went back and done really well, right back area. He said a few games there at pre-season, so we knew he could do it. But it's just the new shuffling all the time, and you know, we knew that how Dumbarton play, you know, they're a strong side, they've got big guys at the back, they come up for every set piece, and it wasn't about the first ball today, it was about the second ball. You've got to defend really, because you know most of the time you're not going to win the first ball. So I thought we dealt with everything quite well, and you know, in the circumstances, we actually defended the game quite well, so it was pleasing.
Ben Armour scored again, terrific finish for him. How pleased were you overall with his game?
I'm pleased with Ben, and again, apart from the fact he scored a good goal, it's just the fact that he's played 65 minutes a day and he's felt good. So hopefully we can get a bit of momentum into him and you know, keep him fresh, as fresh as we can, and keep him playing, because, you know, as I said to you the last time, I think he's got to be a decent striker, and if he can add goals to his game, then, you know, he's going to be even better.
His hold-up play was particularly good as well, especially against two big guys in the back.
But that's what he's good at. He pins people, and he's a strong boy. And, you know, that's what we need him today. You know, it's an important part of the game, being able to hold the ball and bring other people in here. And, you know, especially in the second half, I thought he started to do it well. But I got him off because I was wary of maybe injuring himself again. So, so no, I'm delighted with Ben.
You had Fraser, obviously, Ferry going off, Lane come off as well. How was his injury?
Don't know, I need to speak to the physio about that. He didn't seem too concerned, but the worrying thing for me was is that there was nobody near him when he done it, but it was a movement of his foot had went in a divot apparently, so we'll see how he is. Simon, hopefully he's not too bad, because as I say, he ran about for another 5 minutes while he was struggling, and having had hamstring injuries myself, if it's bad you can't really do that, you know.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's just a strain rather than in a pool.
A few jigs in your back line. Does that sort of change things for you going forward? I mean, you obviously got a game again next week, but you might have Gary Kenzie back. Does he come into your thoughts?
No, we've got Jason back, I know, next week. So, you know, that helps us out. That helps us out enormously, because we always knew when we get these guys. And Gary trained today. He's still feeling his chest a bit tight and stuff like that. So hopefully we can get a better session into him on Tuesday. And, you know, regardless, I'm sure we'll get him in the squad next week, even if he doesn't start. But to be here and have his influence, you know, would be important to us.
And despite the makeshift sort of back line, you managed to get a clean sheet, which, again, must be quite pleasing.
It's pleasing. And again, you know, for a goalkeeper player that's not had a lot today, you know, he handled a few free kicks quite well that came into him. But if you took away the free kicks, he's not really an open player, had an awful lot to do. So he had a good, was it in the second half, he had a good save, and the ball went down the right hand side, and he kind of went through and he blocked it a wee bit. But no, it was pleasing. It's pleasing, especially in the circumstances.
And it's good to have somebody like that who can come and collect a corner, especially right at the end.
You know
you're under pressure. It just kills the momentum for them.
It was good. And the thing is, I mean, as I said to both the boys before the game, him and Lenny, in the last couple of games, has shown that, you know, he'll give him competition. And, you know, that was a pleasing thing. But I thought, you know, Josh was fit and available. There was no point in not playing him, because he's confident and he's, you know, and I thought it was going to be windier than it was today, and obviously kicks the ball really well, so you know, that's a minimum. I'm pleased that he said a clean sheet.
Created a few chances again today. Were you concerned that you weren't taking the chances, especially the one that Lyle had missed for about 3 yards? In the back of your mind that you might get...
I've always got a thing in my mind that one's never enough.
Yeah.
There's always a thing in my mind, no matter if I'm watching us or watching anybody else on the telly. I've always got a thing that one's never enough. You can always be punished, so it's always in the back of your mind.
A couple of baffling decisions with the referee. He seemed to like his own whistle. Like to talk to the players, which seems slightly unnecessary at times.
You know, when you see referees, I mean, that's the same with a crowd. If you know what I mean, they should be learning to deal with it a wee bit better when there's no crowd there. But, you know, I just felt as though he was too over-officious. You know, wanted to talk to players.
Yeah.
There's no point in talking to them. You either book them and you don't do nothing to them, you know what I mean? He actually booked two players. But I don't know what for. In front of the dugout.
Just after he spoke to Gary Fraser or somebody.
I think because
else,
they never came to within a yard of him or something like that. You know, that's petty.
Yeah.
And, you know, they need to learn. And you know, but I said, that's the second game we've had them with one, so I'm not going to criticise them too much.
So next week, another home game, another chance to build on that.
Massive game next week.
Yeah.
You know, because if we can... If we get another 3 points on the board, it would push us right up the table. And, you know, it makes games a wee bit easier when you play the full-time teams and you can maybe go and get something in the games, you know. So, you know, we're decent, and I think when we've got at full strength, we'll be okay. But yeah, we just can't seem to get there, you know.
You've got enough injuries today, as is, without any more suspensions, but positives, obviously, with the win and looking up rather than down the league.
Of course, that's a big thing. That's a big thing. I mean, this season's all about making sure that the club's okay and we try and keep the club where we are, and that's what it's all about.
Obviously, Jim's pleased again with the win, clean sheet as well, and, you know, he talks up the squad. He doesn't sort of moan about the injuries too much, which is, I guess, as a pleasing way of seeing things.
Yeah, we've done everything right. We've won the game, clean sheet. Injuries are disappointing, but I do think it will be part and parcel this year. It's a small squad. The guys have gone a long period of time without football, and I'm just getting thrown back into it. But hopefully, You'd like to think over the next 6, 8, 10 weeks, things will start to settle down with the injuries, and then players will become accustomed to playing football again. So, but it's quite refreshing to see the manager, nay, or a manager, not just a bit head manager, but nay, complaining about injuries. So it's a positive sign.
And shall we mention the referee, his performance? How long have you got?
Well, it was in the audio there. He liked his own whistle. What irks me the most is the inconsistency. The referee wanted to speak to two players for nothing on the touchline, just like coming together, and then 30 seconds later, same sort of thing happens again, yet both players get booked. I don't even think either of them was a talking to. That's the baffling thing. The referee just wanted to be heard. And as Jim said in the audio, that's without a crowd. We can only imagine what they're like with a crowd, because obviously we can't hear at the time what the referees are saying. But going by what we've heard in the last two home games, and even the one away at Montrose, referees do get a fair bit of stick shouted at them from across from the sidelines. But then some referees, I don't think, help the situation. And I think Saturday was a prime example.
It seems to be, I kind of noticed this more on Saturday, younger referees seem to, they want to talk to a player after every challenge. I don't know if that's because they see that that's the way that they stamp their authority on the game, or they stamp their authority on the officials. But somebody like, I'm going to use a Premier League referee or an ex-Premier League referee as an example, is Dallas. He's another one that just seems to like to talk and talk and talk and talk. A good referee is a referee who you wouldn't even notice during the game. But for some reason, this sort of new generation of referees like to get involved and they like to talk. And it just, the thing about on Saturday was, it was both sides that were getting frustrated by him. Not just one side, but both sides were getting frustrated, particularly after speaking to somebody. They wanted to speak to somebody, and they weren't kind of within 5 yards of him, and the Dumbarton players were just saying, just get on with it, just get on with it, come on, let's get playing. But I don't know why these younger referees seem to think that that's the way to do it.
I think I remember a couple of years ago I read an article that basically said they were trying to encourage referees to engage with players more often, to try and, you know, speak to them. We've gone from one extreme to the other, because if you're going to speak to a player after every foul, but it wasn't even bad fouls.
No.
Can the referee dish you a few yellow cards? And I don't think there was a bad challenge in the game. He just was over fussy. And there was a period in the game he didn't allow the game to breathe. Everything was a foul. Yeah, I think that's just the up-and-coming referees. They want to talk to the players a lot more, but if they'd allow the game to flow more, I think players would give them more respect, because they're allowing the game to try and flow a bit.
Yeah, respect and things like that are, you kind of demand respect. You've got to earn it, and you've got to go about it the right way. And as I said, I think these referees, they spoil the game, not just for the players and the managers, but we'll spoil it for the spectators as well. Bear in mind, people are sitting at home and they've paid to watch that, and if you just hear the referee blow the whistle every 2 minutes, and it just spoils it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get why the referee was so insistent that the players were within a couple of yards of him, especially for nothing or coming together. It was just literally, I'm coming together, just get on with the game, and then 30 seconds later, he's booked players. It's something I could probably go into a rant about for quite a lot of the evening, but nobody wants to be hearing that.
I'm not going to worry why they would be so close. We're supposed to be 2 metres apart and, you know, social distancing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like so, right, we're going to hear from a couple of players. First up, we're going to hear from defender Kieran Freeman.
Right, Kieran, tough 3 points, hard fought one.
Well, to be fair, after the first five, I thought we might get a few goals here and make it easy, but no, it was a tough game, to be fair. Just had to see it out in the end.
And what was it like after Simon went off? Because obviously that kind of threw things slightly, didn't it?
It did a little bit, but to be fair, Kyle's used to playing centre-back, so you just got to make sure we were communicating a bit more. And to be fair to Andy did really well at right-back. I think we handled it quite well, even when they put the big boys up last 20. never restricted them quite well, but that was, it was good.
Do you enjoy that kind of physical battle? Do you seem to get a kick out of it?
I'm not the biggest, but I do enjoy that sort of stuff. I prefer the defending sort of side to on the ball, but yeah, especially up here, you never know where the, you just got to try to get your headers in with the wind, that's a bit, as you were saying.
You seem a very calm character. I've seen the last couple of games. Nothing seems to faze you in that back line, no matter kind of a couple of guys in about you.
Yeah.
You seem very calm.
I suppose maybe I am. I'm quite composed. I suppose I think I read the game quite well, so I know what I sort of second guess what's about to happen. And just give myself positioning, gives yourself time, and obviously I've got a bit of pace, and you know, I'm just enjoying playing every week.
You sort of had a good one-on-one battle with Wilson first half and at the second. And then, as you said, they brought in the two big lads. Did that kind of change your mindset slightly?
Me and Kyle just thought, we've got a battle on now. Like, obviously, the boy Wilson wasn't going to run us, and he wasn't winning too much in the air. But as soon as I seen the big boys coming on, we thought, like, just get tight. They were never going to run us. So, especially with the wind, you can sort of keep a high line and it just goes straight over. So now it's... The wind comes in handy sometimes.
Yeah. And as a defender, pleasing to get the clean sheet.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. See, when we go 1-0 up, if we keep a clean sheet, we win. That's all you've got to think like. Obviously, we could have had a few more goals, but to be fair, we were good. We were good in the second half. We've seen it out.
Yeah. In terms of yourself then, how are you settling in at Peterhead?
To be fair, I'm loving it, actually. I'm just playing every week, which I've not been used to for a few years. And to be fair, I think it's great just to be out here experiencing men's football. And it's a good team as well. Like, it's some very good individuals in there. And hopefully we can keep getting wins on the board.
I think you're probably primarily brought in to be as a right back, but you've played the majority of time at centre-half now. Was that something you're enjoying?
Yeah, I'm loving it, to be fair. If you told me that 4 weeks ago, I would have thought... Surely not, but to be fair, I love defending, and it just so happens with Gaz McKenzie being out, and then Sai being out, that it's happened. So but I'm loving it. Just being on the pitch is good, and when we're playing it so well, I can't really complain.
Once Jason's back next week, and the manager's saying that Gary could be back next week as well, suddenly there's a bit of competition for places as well.
Yeah,
so
I'm sure the gaffer will be happy about that we're playing well, and he's got good, strong players coming back in the team, and so everyone needs a bit of competition, or we'll get slack.
Did you enjoy playing with Simon Ferry alongside you for the opening for 15 minutes?
Probably the shortest centre back to be honest. But no, to be fair, Simon reads about the game really well, and he's always speaking. So no, it's nice and easy playing with him. I thought we weren't the biggest, but I thought we did all right.
Always speaking is a flight way of saying business, isn't it? You're coming off there so long.
I know, that's
perfect, right, that's fine. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
And now we'll hear from keeper Josh Ray.
Josh, good 3 points in the end.
Yeah, it was really good. Didn't think we performed as well as we could, but the most important thing is the 3 points at the end of the day, so yeah.
And for yourself, it's your first clean sheet for Peterhead. How happy are you with that?
Well, obviously I'm happy with a clean sheet. It's what I'm there to do, so, yes.
And you catch at the end there in the corner. You feel the pressure when you come for a corner like that?
Amongst everyone, it's probably one of the hardest things to do, to be honest, coming for crosses, but I felt like... Just to come out and make sure I get two hands on it and catch the ball, and that's what I've done, so happily I've got it.
Do you feel it's a good part of your game? Because there's a corner that the second half has already managed to plan away and you put it over pretty much.
I wouldn't say it's one of my strengths, but I'd say I'm okay at it, but it's one of the things I feel as though I could get a bit better at and maybe come for a bit more. But feeling okay, I thought.
Was the changes in front of you in terms of the back line interrupted the kind of flow of the game slightly when Simon went off and there was obviously Andy coming across the right back? Did it kind of interrupt things slightly?
Obviously, it's changing and stuff, so it's not easy, but we coped with it well. And obviously, it's difficult with Jason out and Gary, so that doesn't help either, but now we coped with it quite well and quite happy with the performance. So.
And you overall, how are you settling into Peterhead? How are you liking things up here in the North East?
No, I'm loving it. My aim was to play as many games as I can and just see what happens, so I'm doing that so far, so I just need to keep going and hopefully get a lot more games.
Is it a competition between you and Lenny to get that number one spot?
It's every night in training when we're training, it's both of us push each other on and compliment each other and just try and make each other better, so that's what you want really, is two goalkeepers.
Do you see yourself as the number one, or do you still kind of think at any time that you could just change it?
No, I don't ever see it as a number one goalkeeper. They should always have two goalkeepers that are pushing each other, and I don't think it should ever be a set number one, because competition and goalkeepers, you need it. Only one goalkeeper wouldn't be, I don't think it would be as good, because you need two pushing each other. And I'm enjoying it, so yeah.
Is the fact that Lenny could take your place at any moment make you want to play better?
Yeah,
one week?
Yeah, it makes me and my toes as well every single training session, because I want to do as well as possible to keep my place.
And so, how are you coping with the wind up here?
Obviously at Cowden Beef last year it weren't great either, but this is a different level, so so no, it was quite good today, the wind, it weren't too bad, so yeah, I feel as though I'm coping with okay so far, but it's not the best.
It's certainly a challenge for your kicking, isn't it?
Yeah, especially the second half today, that's quite difficult, but no, I'm enjoying it, so
good.
So that was Kieran Freeman and Josh Ray, both played particularly well since they've joined at the start of the season.
Yeah, we were hopeful when they came in that they would make a positive impact, because we lost a lot of our back line throughout the summer. And I think they've settled in very well. I've been very impressed with Kieran since he came in. And I think he will, I think Dundee United have got high hopes for him anyway. And I think he will be a cracking player in a few years to come.
And Josh, he's obviously, he came in at sort of short notice on Saturday, but he did what was asked of him fairly well. He had a couple of free kicks that he had to deal with first half, I think, and then, as we mentioned in the audio there as well, in the second half he was coming out and he was claiming corners, and that one right at the end as well. So for him to get that clean sheet, having missed out the last two games, would have been particularly pleasing.
Yeah, he'll be absolutely delighted. As you said, it was a couple of free kicks and a couple of corners, but it was right at the end when Dumbarton, they had a big team, and then also they put on the big lads as well, and he just came right to death and just caught the corner. There was nobody was going to stop him getting it, and what a relief there was, just, you know, around the stadium for us, you know, Jim on the bench and the substitutes were beside us. You could just see how pleased Abdi was for him, because we knew it was going to be a clean sheet, and he just seen the pressure off right at the end. So I think he'll be really pleased with his performance on Saturday.
And for a defender to have a keeper like that, who you know is going to come out and collect almost everything, it must be such a lift.
Yeah, they did not really need to worry about if it's got to go into the 6-yard box, because they can't, he'll come and collect it. They just need to make sure their man's not getting on the end of it. And we, like we said, we limited Dumbarton to very few chances on Saturday, which is really pleasing.
And you could probably tell by the audio, he maybe doesn't talk as much, or maybe doesn't like speaking as readily as maybe some other guys in the team. But as a goalkeeper, I think that's maybe an element of his game that he's going to have to try and learn and try and improve on, because there's a few times, especially on Saturday, for he just felt that his communicating to his defence maybe would have helped them out a little bit, in terms of, is he going to come out and collect that long ball, or is he going to ask one of his defenders to deal with it before he needs to do anything with it?
Yeah, Jim and on the bench, he was, you know, he was shouting quite a lot on Saturday. He's really wanting Josh to start communicating better with his defenders. And I think one instance was in the second half, I think it was. There was a ball through and Bailey is running back towards the goal. Josh is looking at it and Josh starts to come and then he stops and then Bailey puts it out for a throw-in. It'd been quite easy if Josh had just stayed in his box and allowed Bailey to knock the ball back to him and kick it forward. So a lot of things like that. I'm sure that'll come in time. Once Josh plays more regular games, I think that'll come naturally eventually. But it's just that a lot of things just need to improve, because if I remember correctly, after that throw-in, we sort of gave ourselves Dumbarton had a half chance. But again, it's these little things that could be the difference. In the last season, you know, we might have conceded that chance and goal, but as this season, so far, we've been a bit more solid.
It was interesting that Jim, and I guess in a way as well, Ray had said that there is a bit of competition there for the two goalkeepers. Nobody's really maybe got that number one spot as such. So, in a way, that's going to keep them on their toes as such.
Yeah, we didn't have it last season. Greg Fleming did really well for Peterhead, but I do think at periods last season that if he had... if Lenny had played regularly before, I think there could have been a change of goalkeeper, or there were certainly arguments for it throughout last season. So I think this season, we as fans and probably the players know themselves, if they have a bad couple of games, then their position will be under threat. And that goes for the goalkeepers as well. But I think Josh and Lenny, I think they're both up for that challenge.
Yep, and as you mentioned as well, we were at the game again, doing our bit on the commentary. I don't know about you, but I think this seemed to be a better game for us. Maybe just having that extra games experience for us, so maybe just helped a little bit.
Yeah, well, at the moment we're lacking match sharpness, you could say. We're hoping that it'll get better as we go on, but you know, it's early days, but hopefully we can improve on it.
Yeah, it's again, we should thank the club for asking us to do it. Hopefully it's adding to the guys in it's watching it at home, their enjoyment of it, and just adds that little extra element, because I know some of them were missing some kind of commentary. Whether or not they wanted us is a different story, but
maybe looking for Ian Crocker and Andy David Proven, but they've ended up with us. But yeah, we notice every week there's things that aren't quite right that we're looking to work on, and I guess that's the advantage of having three home games in a row. You can very quickly try and put right what we think has gone wrong with the audio and the visual. So hopefully after Saturday we can be in a position that we're both happy with.
And we should say, in terms of the audio, it's not the audio, but the visual side of things, not a lot of people might know, but the camera is actually an AI camera, and by that we mean is nobody actually physically controls the camera. It's supposed to pick up the ball and just focus on the ball, but we all know the story of what happened up at Inverness and the ball linesman, so it, there are elements of it, it will go wrong. Again, there are things in place that hopefully come next week, the game on Saturday, that we can maybe, if you know, such things like that happen, that we're now missing goals that happened in the St Johnstone game.
Yeah, we had hoped that it would have been ready to go on Saturday, but technical hitches put sort of pain to that. So like we said, hopefully next Saturday we'll be in a position where we're all systems go and you know, provide commentary for another home win.
Well, let's hope so. So let's move swiftly on to the next home game then, which is Forfar. On paper, if you look at it, you would think it's a home bunker, but you know, these things aren't just as easy and straightforward as you'd think. They do sit bottom of the table. They've yet to win a game this season, either in the league or in the cup. But those were the games last season that we kind of struggled with.
Yeah, I think was that the last game before lockdown?
The last home game before lockdown was the 1-1 against the 4-4, yes.
And we had numerous chances. I think was it Jason Brown had an effort cleared off the line, and then within the last 5 minutes they scored. So we're hoping that we're locks are changing a wee bit. It's one of them games, from an outside point of view, you'd expect Peterhead to win, and anything less would be seen as a disappointment. And I'd probably go along with that from the inside, sort of. I think it is a game that if we're going to have any aspirations of doing anything in the division, whether it be just touching playoffs for promotion or being, you know, solid in mid-table, a home game as well, you've got to win it. We've said before how important these games will be at home. And when you're playing Forfar, I think they've conceded, is it 10 or 11 goals in their 5 games? So they are struggling, as you've mentioned, no wins in the cup either. So I certainly think it's a game that we've got to win.
In the head-to-head overall, it's quite tight. 10 wins for Peterhead, 7 for Forfar, and the 6 draws. Last season, obviously, it was just the 3 games. It was a win apiece in that last draw. There was nothing much in it between the two sides last season, but again, I think this season, with that extra experience that some of the players have got now, and as we mentioned earlier on, a game like Saturday against Dunbarton, we probably would have ended up losing or dropping points. So if we get our noses in front against Forfar, you're more confident that you're going to get something out of it?
Yeah, and last season it felt that we would need almost like 4 or 5 chances before we'd score. This season I do feel that, you know, our shots on target to goal ratio would be a lot lower. You know, I do fancy even half chances. I think obviously Stephen Boyd missed it on Saturday, a left-footed volley, but you know, he's a quality player, and I think if you give him time in the box and Ben Armour gets a half chance, then I think we've got players in there that can score. And hopefully that'll be the case on Saturday. A nice early goal, like we did on Saturday, just gone, would be the perfect tonic. But I certainly think it is a game we've got to win and got to be in the front foot.
And to their credit, Forfar's credit, they started off the season, the league campaign, I should say, with 2 credible draws against Dumbarton and Falkirk. Now, that would have been a decent start, but then they've gone and lost their next 3, and that's why they've ended up at the bottom. They've only scored, I think, maybe 3 or 4. So chances, again, for them are few and far between. But, again, it's all about how Peterhead play, I guess, and it's just getting their noses in front.
Yeah, I think it's got to be a game, in my opinion, where we can't be afraid to get beat. And that sounds a bit daft saying it when I'm saying we want to win, but I think if you've got the shackles on, you're setting yourself up for a fall. You've got to be confident, and I think Saturday's win will give us the confidence. Even the St Johnstone game, I know we've gotten beat 3-1, but you know, 2 of them were penalties, so we didn't disgrace ourselves. I think we are playing better this season. We're maybe just getting the luck of the green that we didn't get last year. And you know, with every game that goes by, the players are getting to know each other's games that little bit better. So hopefully on Saturday, you know, it all comes together again and can get 3 points.
Simon Ferry and Isaac Lane looks as though they're going to miss out, but Jason Brown will be back. And you heard from Jim earlier on saying that Gary McKenzie could be in with a shout as well. So in terms of the personnel, you would think that the back line almost picks itself with or without Gary McKenzie, and you would have Bailey, Brown, Freeman and Conroy as your back 4, and then allowing McCarthy to go back into midfield. So it's almost, although yes, he's had injury problems and he's had suspension problems and things like that, he's almost got a starting 11 to pick from.
Yeah, we're getting there. As you said, I think that will be the back 4 on Saturday. And, you know, even towards the latter end of the game, Gary McKenzie coming on with his experience just to help out that back line could be a useful tool as well. I think that'll sort of be the team. As you said, McCarthy going back into midfield to his more natural position. And we can look to, as I say, get the 3 points. That's the most important thing. I don't think the performance on Saturday really matters. I think it's all about the 3 points, and hopefully we get it.
Yeah, you'd expect the midfield 3 to be, as I said, McCarthy, Fraser and Brown. Hopefully those latter 2 can perform a little bit better than they did. It's whether or not he wants to start Lyle, Cameron or Cook, I think, on one side. He'll definitely go with Boyd and probably Armour, so it's maybe just that 1 or 2 little decisions he's going to have to make.
Personally, I think he'll go Cook, because I think Lyle Cameron coming off the bench, we've seen that on Saturday, he's a useful outlet on the wing, and probably something that he might utilise, you know, as the season's going ahead, like, sort of going forward, that Lyle could be the sort of person to bring on, Lyle Cameron, I should say, just to clarify, he's the sort of person that you'd want to bring on in the last 20 minutes, because he had a chance on Saturday, I think he had actually maybe two, that just a little bit more experience, and he would have gotten a shot off in target and done well with it. But yeah, I think he's a useful player to come off the bench in the last 15, 20 minutes.
And I think that's one of the differences from last season as well, is the bench. You can look to the bench and get somebody who can come off the bench and change a game or influence a game, because obviously you've got Derek Lyle came off the bench on Saturday, Isaac Lane came off the bench, you've got Hashim Bakar, who looks, although hasn't played many minutes, looks as though he's going to be busy, as you mentioned, Lyle Cameron, if he's on the bench, Darren Kessin can do a bit as well, so that's another thing that it's changed from last season slightly.
Yeah, which seems strange saying it when he's got a smaller squad, but I think there's definitely, dare I say, better quality or stronger options to bring off the bench. I think last season, as you rightly said, we looked at the bench and you think there's nobody really can come on and change the game in our favour, but I think this season that's different. But also he's got players who can play in multiple positions, so you can bring one player on but move four players around that can enhance our performance in, you know, in an attacking sense. So you know, that bodes well for the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's another, as you said, vital home game. These games are going to be big in terms of how we're going to perform throughout the season. Tough away matches after that as well. So, but we'll concentrate on Saturday. Looking forward to getting behind the mic again and commentating another, hopefully another home win.
Yeah, I think the most important thing, as I said the last few minutes, it is the win. Because it would just give us a bit of daylight between the teams at the bottom and ourselves. And, you know, having started the season the way we did, it wasn't the best in the league, I should say. It would be fine just to follow up with back-to-back wins, which we only did once last season, was it? Twice. So, again, that's another massive positive when you think we only did it twice last season. If you can do it once already and we're not even out in November, no, it'd be a good start for us, I think.
Yep, all positive on the Western Front, as I say. Well, that'll be it for this week's episode then. My thanks to Martin for joining me as always, and of course we'd both like to thank you for listening as ever. We'll be back again next week, so we'll see you all again then. Cheers.